Hello, my name is Vivian Alfonso, and the title of my talk today is Food Desert or Mirage, Obesity Prevalence in Preschool-Aged Children, and the Neighborhood Environment in Extremely Low-Income Census Tracts of Los Angeles County. And to start, I'd like to say that I have no personal financial relationships to disclose. So, as we've heard today, it's no surprise that obesity is a pressing problem in our country. And what's especially concerning are the rates of obesity in very young children. In 2009, the CDC reported that 1 in 7 low-income preschool-age children was reported as obese. And this is of great concern to us because research has shown that obesity tracks into adulthood and is associated with increased risk of psychological and chronic conditions later in life. And it's not very easy to study this either. The potential causes of obesity are multifactorial, ranging from individual behaviors to economic factors, or ecologic factors, or environmental factors, actually. So to begin talking about the environment, the term food desert was first introduced in the UK in the early 1990s to describe areas with limited access to healthy foods, such as fresh produce. And areas deemed food deserts are usually very poor neighborhoods. And what's interesting is that in these poor neighborhoods, we also find high rates of obesity. But it's generally assumed that all low-income neighborhoods are similar, and as we've seen in the literature, there has been some inconsistency in terms of the types of food stores that we find in these areas. Depending on where the research is conducted, different research has shown different results. But it's important for effective intervention purposes to really understand the mechanisms by which the environment influences obesity risk in low-income neighborhoods. So the objective of this study is to compare obesity rates and the neighborhood food environments between extremely low-income neighborhoods and less poor neighborhoods among preschool-age WIC participants in Los Angeles County in 2009. And if you were here for my research group member, Maria Pia Chaparro's talk, she did a follow-up study of WIC children from 2006 to 2009 to look at potential factors that could contribute to the change in obesity prevalence in these children. The study I'm presenting to you today is a descriptive cross-sectional study of the year 2009. So a brief overview of the WIC program in Los Angeles County. It's called the Special Supplemental Nutrition Program for Women, Infants, and Children. And it's a nutrition assistance program that serves women, infants, and children less than 5 years of age. Comparing the WIC population to that of the greater Los Angeles County, we find a higher percentage of Hispanics and a higher percentage of families below federal poverty level in the WIC population versus Los Angeles County. The two research questions that we set out to answer are whether preschool-aged child obesity rates in WIC families differ between very low-income neighborhoods and less poor neighborhoods, and if so, what are the possible reasons for the difference in obesity rates between these areas? So to conduct the study, we used WIC administrative data for 2009 in conjunction with Census 2000 and National Establishment Time Series, or NETS database. And as Pia mentioned earlier, the NETS database is based on Dun & Bradstreet archival establishment data, and we obtained the store counts per census tract based on the standard industry classification, or SIC codes. The individual level variables of interest for children aged 2 to 5 years were child's body mass index, or BMI, child's gender, mother's BMI, mother's nativity, and mother's language preference. And also mentioned earlier, child's BMI was validated by our group, actually very recently, and it's based on the CDC's weight standard categories for children over the age of 2. And the categories are underweight is less than 5th percentile, healthy weight is the 5th to 85th percentile, overweight is 85th to 95th percentile, and obese is greater than 95th percentile. And the percentile indicates the relative position of that child's weight, or BMI rather, compared to other children of the same age and sex. And mother's BMI was calculated by the CDC, the categories were obtained from the CDC for adults older than 20 years of age. And the categories are underweight is less than a BMI of less than 18.5, healthy weight is 18.5 to 24.9, overweight is 25 to 29.9, and obese is over 30. So the neighborhood, and when I mention neighborhood, I'm talking about the census tract, level variables of interest were the food environment, as I mentioned earlier, based on the SIC codes, and the neighborhood income indicators, which are median household income, percent blue-collar workers, percent ethnic minority, and percent high school graduates, which all come from the 2000 census. So for some results, this is an overview of our study population of the roughly 200,000 WIC children aged 2 to 5 years. We see that the mean age is 3.3 years, and it's fairly evenly distributed across gender. We also find that we have a roughly 37% overweight and obese prevalence in our population. Looking at the neighborhoods, or the census tracts in which our WIC children live, we find a median household income mean of $40,000. And to stratify them into very low income and other income neighborhoods, we took the lowest 25th percentile census tracts with median household income and grouped them into the very low income category. And the range for this was $8,125 to $28,000. All other census tracts were grouped into the other income category. Looking at all census tracts, we have a mean percent blue-collar workers of 9%, a mean percent minority 77%, and mean percent high school graduates of 20%. The first research question we set out to answer was whether preschool-age child obesity rates in WIC families differ between very low-income neighborhoods and less poor or other income neighborhoods. Looking at the combined overweight and obese category, we see that very low-income neighborhoods, or children living in these very low-income neighborhoods, have an overweight or obese prevalence of 38.4%, compared to other income neighborhoods whose children have an overweight or obese prevalence of 35.4%, so a 3% difference. When we break it down into the individual weight status categories, we see that this difference is mainly due to the obese category. Very low-income neighborhoods, the children living there have an obesity prevalence of 20.9% versus other income neighborhoods with an obesity prevalence of 18.7%. And while we think of this difference as fairly small, it's only 2.2%, the relative difference is actually 10. So we find that preschool-age child obesity rates are 10% higher in very low-income neighborhoods compared to other income neighborhoods. So now we want to, you know, begin to look into what are some possible reasons for this difference. So we're going to begin by looking at some potential neighborhood factors. Here we have the other indicators of neighborhood income, which are percent high school graduates, percent blue-collar workers, and percent minority. If we look at the percent minority, very low-income neighborhoods have a mean percent ethnic minority of 92.7% compared to other income neighborhoods with a mean percent minority of 71.4%. This table provides the exposure of WIC children to various types of food stores. And to aid in reading this table, the individual cells represent the percent of children that fall within each category. Starting with the healthy food stores, we see that 83% of very low-income children do not have access to fruit or vegetable markets within their neighborhoods. We also find that 72% of very low-income children do not have access to supermarkets as well, and this number is similar to that of other income neighborhoods. But on the other hand, we find that roughly 50% of very low-income children do in fact have access to independent small grocery stores within their neighborhoods. Looking at less healthy food stores, we find 90% of children living in low-income neighborhoods do not have access to chain convenience stores, and we see this is similar for pizza establishments. We also see 55% of very low-income children, very low-income neighborhoods, 55% of these children do not have access to fast food establishments within their own neighborhoods. But on the other hand, when we look at liquor stores, roughly 60% of very low-income children do in fact have access to liquor stores within their neighborhood. So this does play into the idea that very low-income neighborhoods may in fact be considered food deserts. Excuse me. Now to look at some potential individual level factors. When we run a bivariate analysis of the language of mother by neighborhood income, we see that in the other income neighborhood, these mothers are fairly evenly distributed across English and Spanish speakers. But when we look at the very low-income neighborhoods, we have a higher percentage of mothers that prefer to speak Spanish as compared to those that prefer English. When we run a bivariate analysis on mothers' nativity by neighborhood income, we see that we have a higher percentage of non-U.S. born WIC mothers living in very low-income neighborhoods compared to other income neighborhoods. And lastly, when we run a bivariate analysis of mothers' weight status by neighborhood income, we also see that we have a higher prevalence of overweight or obesity in WIC moms living in very low-income neighborhoods compared to other income neighborhoods, 32.4 versus 28.8%. So to conclude, we found a higher prevalence of obesity in WIC preschool-age children living in very low-income neighborhoods compared to other income neighborhoods. And if we recall the difference, we found a 10% higher prevalence of obesity in very low-income neighborhoods. We also found fewer food stores of almost all types in very low-income neighborhoods, which plays into the idea that these may in fact be considered food deserts. We also found a higher percent ethnic minority in very low-income neighborhoods. And to go along with this, we also found more Spanish speakers and a higher percent of non-U.S. born WIC moms living in very low-income neighborhoods. And lastly, we found a higher percentage of overweight or obese WIC moms living in very low-income neighborhoods compared to other income neighborhoods. So from all this, we speculate that immigrant Hispanic families may be at higher risk for obesity in the WIC population. And the lack of food stores in very low-income neighborhoods may simply be an indicator of the economic condition in these neighborhoods. But this was solely a cross-sectional study looking at 1 year. So we propose future research that attempts to understand the food purchasing and preparation behaviors of WIC families living in very poor neighborhoods, and also the infant and child feeding beliefs and practices of immigrant families. So I'd like to acknowledge the following institutions, individuals, and organizations for their funding and support. Thank you.